This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. Want to guess how much coffee was produced last year? If you said right off the top of your head 145,202,000 bags of coffee, you'd be exactly right. Those beans were picked and shipped from hillsides and fields from Burundi to Brazil, so I and the rest of the world's coffee drinkers can be revived every morning. In the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, it's the coffee industry itself that needs reviving, with hopes of perking up the entire economy. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
Emil Tarmirabali Batera is a coffee farmer in Batemba, South Kivu in eastern Congo. He's in a field just down the hill from his home. He's rebuilt both since Congo's wars.
We slept in the forest during the war.
This was in the 90s and early 2000s when Rwanda's genocide spilled over into Congo, bringing down the government and killing up to 5 million people.
My family would hide during the night wherever we could. During the day, we'd come back to work in our fields.
The war officially ended in 2002, but conflict has sputtered along since. For a time, agricultural commerce in his town was reduced to something economically primeval.
There was no cash, no money. We just bartered beans for salt, that sort of thing.
During better times, Batera's cash came from his coffee trees. They grow extremely well in eastern Congo.
During the war, the price of coffee beans went incredibly low. It just plummeted.
To give you an idea, prices paid to growers in Congo in 2002 were $2.96 per pound, the lowest in the world. Neighboring Central African Republic was getting four times as much. Batera's wife Josephine says it was just not worth all the work.
I'd have to start picking at 6 in the morning, pick all day, then pulp the beans by hand. My hands would get exhausted, dry them, then carry them to market.
The Batera's trees did not make it, at least not most of them.
I took out all the trees. Well, I left a few, but only because I drink a little coffee myself.
Many of their neighbors just stopped bothering altogether.
People burned or left their fields or grew other things, beans, cassava.
A thread of history got broken.
That is Dave Olson. He's worked in the coffee industry for 40 years, much of that time with Starbucks. He's also on the board of the Eastern Congo Initiative, a development organization. A lot of threads in Eastern Congo got broken, but the one Olson is talking about is the coffee industry.
Really good coffee can and used to be produced in this area.
But an industry is not like a piece of thread that you can just tie back together. It's more like a mirror. Easy to smash, harder to fix. You need a co-op for farmers, crop financing. If you're going to make good coffee, you need a machine to pulp and dry the raw coffee fruit, another machine to sort the good ones from the bad, and all of these shards of this mirror need glue, otherwise known as money. Conrad Britz is CEO of Falcon Coffee. It's a middleman sourcing coffee from around the world to large buyers.
Big multinational companies, top roasting companies, are concerned about where they're going to get the raw material from to feed their factories in the next 20 to 25 years.
Britz has invested in Eastern Congo's shattered coffee industry because he needs to source coffee into the global supply chain, and he sees potential here.
The quality of coffee that comes off the tree in Kivu is some of the finest coffee in the world.
He's standing in front of hundreds of bags of coffee beans at the husking and sorting facility that he helped finance.
If you look at this, here's a really uniform size bean of an even color, sort of a waxy green, sometimes blue-green.
Brit's money is just part of the equation. There are still a lot of broken coffee industry pieces on the ground, like how can farmers get their coffee to Brit's mill, and how can they get it there in good enough shape to be worth much? A big part of the solution to that is this. It's a pulping station, one of several now running in the region. This one was paid for by the Howard Buffett Foundation. Pale beans are spit out in one chute, and red and yellow pulp comes out another.
It saves us time and money, and we'll be able to produce quality coffee, which will then be sold at a competitive and profitable price.
That's Jean Munyamale Burafanwa, president of the coffee co-op. The beans are washed and sorted and dried on long tables, turned regularly so they don't develop what's called onion flavor before going to Brit's mill.
Little by little, everyone's starting to understand.
The co-op started with 20 members. Now it's at more than 1,300. Back on the Batera farm, Batera's wife Josephine is putting down compost. The Bateras say the prices they're getting haven't been seen in years.
We have gotten almost $1.75, $2 a kilo.
It's a lot easier.
Part by charity and part by business, the pieces seem to be coming together for Eastern Congo's coffee industry. The co-op's first shipment of specialty coffee is headed to Starbucks this month. In Kabamba, Eastern Congo, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.